Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hi, this is the bad boy, Joey Janela, and you're listening to the Going In Raw podcast. Joey Janela always goes in.
This is the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, and you are listening to Going In Raw.
Hey everyone, Kenny Omega here. In case you didn't know, we have an awesome kick butt show called Stephen Larson's Going In Raw, and they're going to be supporting AEW every week amongst many other things. Goodbye and smooch, good night, bye-bye.
Hey friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Available wherever podcasts can be found. And of course,
taped live on the Twitch, twitch.tv/Steve and Larson, where we filmed, where we did a watch along for the return of CM Punk.
Phil's back.
To AEW, he is officially All Elite, and it is very exciting, and it was an awesome, awesome moment. Obviously, a huge pop for CM Punk. Branded traditionally the way he had his branding in WWE, mm-hmm. with the white, black, and red, and a new shirt that looks very similar to his old one of his old WWE shirts.
Yep.
I'm sure there's plenty more of that to come. It was a really, really special moment for tons and tons and tons of wrestling fans, including us. Really something special, dude. It was one of those things where we knew now for a couple weeks this was going to happen.
Yeah.
But until we saw it, it's just difficult to process it because it's been so long. And his journey outside of pro wrestling has seemingly not really been one that suggested this would happen.
Yeah, I mean, for a number of years, every time the subject was broached with him, he's like, eh, not interested, you know, and then slowly became, well, it has to be the right situation, you know, and I think he somewhat jokingly talked about some outrageous sum of money it would take for him to come back, at least to WWE. The road to WWE was always way more difficult given the lawsuit, all that kind of stuff, you know, how, yeah. You know, he was fired, all that. If he was ever going to return to WWE, it would be, there's a lot of obstacles in the way. A lot of work would have to be done to heal that relationship.
And it even seemed, not to cut you off, but just on that point, it seemed like he was even willing to explore that when he went to backstage on Fox. He even said as much in an interview with Renee Paquette, you know, I'm sort of dipping a toe just to see if this is a possibility. Clearly it wasn't. Like, all that stuff was still there. WWE evidently didn't think, and you know, the future will prove them out, right or not. I think they probably won't be proven right. But we'll see with the ratings, we'll see with the pay-per-view buys.
I think also too is the coverage from mainstream media while we were doing our stream here on watching Rampage. Following Punk's debut, we got word from someone in chat that they talked about Punk returning on SportsCenter. That kind of exposure for AEW is really huge.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
For outlets outside of the Warner Media family of networks is massive for them. They got a name like CM Punk, and seemingly in a month, Bryan Danielson coming in. That's going to get more eyeballs. In terms of making a huge push to really bring those numbers up, as far as ratings and whatnot, get generating interest in their company, in pro wrestling overall, it's pretty huge. It's massive.
When you think of moments in pro wrestling that got that kind of coverage, like, you got to look back to, obviously, the moment that turned things around for the WWF back in 1998, and that was Steve Austin and Mike Tyson in the ring together. Mm-hmm. And that got tons of media coverage. I mean, there's been moments throughout the years. I imagine, I have nothing to back this up, but I would imagine that Hulk Hogan going to WCW probably would have gotten some of that attention. I mean, they were able to start turning things around not far long after.
They had a parade in Walt Disney World.
My God, that right there. But this is definitely something that's at least for tonight capturing the zeitgeist. We've noticed it's been trending on Twitter. Obviously, the video of his return is already this is 8 minutes after it done the actual episode finished. So we're looking at about an hour after he was actually in there in the ring. Is on Twitter right now. It's been viewed 1.3 million times. It's probably up to 1.5 at this point or more.
Yeah. Shop AEW is down right now from people going, trying to get their CM Punk shirts.
Yeah. Steve's trying to get his. Going to have to bootleg one, apparently.
You have to make one yourself. Just get a Sharpie and just draw.
MS Paint, baby. That's what I have to say.
Get the iron-on things you can print off on your printer at home.
Exactly. It's good.
I've done that before. It works all right. But yeah, I mean, they probably did the smart thing, having Punk come out to open the show so you don't have CM Punk chance dominating everything else that happens after. And also, from a timing perspective, you give Punk the mic, let him do his thing, you can adjust the schedule afterwards. Whereas if you run your show as booked and the last segment's Punk and he's only got 10 minutes left, you know, you're going to feel like he was rushed off the stage, like he was given an Oscar acceptance speech. You know, you don't want that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Unless they had an arrangement with TNT where they could have an overrun. Yeah, sure. They have been. AEW has. They've learned plenty of lessons along the way. And this is the kind of thing that we were talking about when they first started. You know, what are they going to be like a year down the line? What are they going to be like 2 years down the line? We're almost at the 2 year point here.
Yep.
They got started in October of 2019, and we see how savvy they are. This is not a. This would not have been an easy. They could have easily gotten this wrong. You know, it's like, yeah, they knew it was out there. There was no way. And AEW is typically pretty damn good about keeping stuff on the hush. There was no way you could not. This was not going to get out, and I feel like they played it exactly right. Tony Khan basically said, look, everybody knows it's going to happen. When this was signed, they booked the United Center in Chicago. They called it the first dance. All signs pointed to this happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of running any vignettes and instead of like being too obvious about it, Tony Khan just said, look, we all know what's going to happen. Knowing that the crowd, the AEW crowd, is savvy enough to carry that word of mouth from places like Fightful, who broke the story, to carry that word of mouth. And so you get this buzz going. And even today, you know, I drop a video on Wrestle Juice talking about this stuff and people in the comments, oh, I'm going to be laughing so hard when he doesn't show up. And all week, what's the question we've been getting at going in Raw?
What happens if he doesn't show up? Yep.
He doesn't show up. And it's like, no, this is going to happen. But it's so crazy to think that it actually is happening.
I know.
That it's easier to think, what if this doesn't happen?
It can't happen. Not that it's not going to. It can't, you know?
And so you've got all this certainty, uncertainty, and then it happens.
Yeah.
And there's no cheesy vignette beforehand. He comes out. It's an emotional moment.
Yeah.
And he drops this awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome promo.
Heartfelt.
Genuine. I mean, the man just talked. He talked for about 12 minutes or so.
Something like that. Yeah.
And it felt right. And I said this also, it's like, you know, I've made the joke here on Going in Raw about how, you know, AEW, I loved the idea of AEW. I really appreciated the story stuff. You and I were watching New Japan from Wrestle Kingdom 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved all the pieces in place. But lately it's like they've been appealing to the wrestling fan and me. Hey, who do you like? Aleister Black will sign him. Who do you like? Andrade will sign him. Who do you like? You know, Rusev will sign him. Well, now it's getting ridiculous because they're getting guys like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely nuts crazy that this is happening, but it's an amazing thing to see in pro wrestling.
It definitely is. And whenever any company on the mainstream level generates excitement, it's good for everybody, you know?
Yeah, it is.
You know, because you think, hopefully, now WWE should want to step up their game, at least from a creative standpoint, to get people talking about their product in positive terms, you know? And, it's now, based on their relationship with AEW, it's good for Impact. It's good for New Japan, because you're going to see all of these talents coming to AEW now from all sorts of different promotions, all being on the same TV. Shop AEW just loaded. All being on the same TV show. And maybe people will watch that and think, oh, I like this person. I'm going to go watch Impact. I'm going to go watch New Japan. It's great for everybody.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Yeah, it is. It's great for everybody. And it's funny because a couple months ago, Billy Corgan made this statement or talked about this a little bit on, I don't know where it was, but it was some interview. And he said, all of us combined, you know, all of us combined are enough to give WWE a run for its money. And look, I don't know exactly what anybody thinks of when they think, you know, can they compete with WWE? There are metrics, obviously.
Yeah.
There's metrics in terms of, you know, TV ratings,
demos,
revenue, demographics. You know, I always felt it was more like, okay, well, they're competing over talent, because now talent's like, holy crap, what's going on over here? You have, if you sign with AEW or Impact or New Japan, that is this door now that's open to working with any of these other companies who are all being lifted by this rising tide.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope for fans, because I still like what WWE does to a degree. You know, the roster there is unmatched. It's amazing. Great. The level of talent in WWE.
Yeah.
Creative leaves a little bit to be desired. Yes. We have our SmackDown recap coming up after this.
And I think SmackDown, you know, it wasn't a bad show. I'll just touch on this real quick since you brought it up. In a lot of ways, though, SmackDown tonight just showed some of the glaring creative issues with WWE in terms of rematches that are seemingly unmotivated, just leaps of logic and a lack of internal consistency.
We'll go into it more in our SmackDown
recap, but anyways.
I'll just hit on this one thing. You can talk about story logic. You can talk about character inconsistency, right?
Yeah.
Why anybody, because that stuff sometimes isn't easy to get. Anybody would have said, let's have Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart in another championship contenders match. They've done this
July 16th. They did it July 16th.
And that was just a championship contender match. The week before that was their first match.
Yeah, open this challenge, they won that.
This is the third time they had this tag team match and they haven't got a title shot? What the fuck is going on there?
Well, it's not just that, but here's the thing. They've won now three tag matches, and Tegan Nox beat Tamina in a one-on-one match. And yet commentary says, what an upset.
How is that an upset? Like, I just don't understand what's going on backstage where anybody finds this normal or acceptable.
I know.
But here's the thing, dude. This is going back to your, now we're still in the AEW review. Going back to your comment about this kind of thing can make WWE step up their game. Will it?
No.
Because I think it's in a different, I think where it's a lot different. And Vince said that in the conference call. He said, WCW was coming at us. There, I saw them as competition. AEW is not competition to that degree because WCW is coming at us. WWE doesn't need to improve their creative game anymore.
No, they don't.
Because they just make money hand over fist.
Yep.
I don't know exactly what has to happen. You would think that some sort of floor of ratings they would have to reach to be like, shit, the networks are pissed off. And we've heard little bits at networks mm-hmm. that USA and Fox might be upset about some things along the way here and there. Mm-hmm. But it's like AEW is just going to keep on doing what they're doing.
Yep.
And either WWE will find it in them to give a shit to improve or they won't.
It's got to hurt the bottom line. Otherwise, they're not going to care.
Yeah, and their bottom line is so vast and diversified at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's ever going to be a thing, like 20 years from now maybe, but they're going to sell in...
Probably before that, yeah.
Probably three, when their maybe. TV deal maybe. Is up, because then it's somebody else's fucking problem. But you figure, hey, one thing that we could offer if we're selling the company is a program that people actually want to watch.
I know. Well, I know. And on a weekly basis, especially when it comes to Raw, it's not the case. It's just not the case on a weekly basis.
No.
People watch it. They want to watch it. Eh.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to dive into this, I can handle some of the recap in here because these are my notes and I know they're cryptic and hard to make heads or tails of.
No, not at all. Not at all. I can. So, it opened up. Let me see how far I get here.
All right.
So CM Punk, of course. I mean, just cult of personality kicks in, and on the Tron, you get the branding.
Get the graphics. See, they even had the static before the song kicks in.
They had the static?
They
that's
had it
right.
all. They had
that's,
it all.
That's in the song.
Is it? I couldn't remember.
I think it's in the song. Maybe check and let us know. I've heard that song so many times away from CM Punk that I'm pretty sure it does. Anyways, so he comes out and kneels on the stage. He just soaks it all in. You can look on his face and it's emotion, right?
Yeah.
He's wearing a black hoodie. He makes it down the ramp. He stage dives. So he goes over to one side and on the ramp there. He hugs one fan. He looks at the other side. You want a hug too? And he goes and he stage dives right into that crowd and they just take him in.
Yeah.
Security's like, oh crap, we're going to lose this guy. And so they all let him back up. He comes back over. Finally gets the ring, grabs a mic. We go to commercial and Excalibur wisely says, you got 90 seconds until we get to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he says, we're winging this. I didn't plan what I was going to say because I didn't know how I was going to feel, but I knew I needed to feel it. And I feel Chicago and I hear you, Chicago. And the crowd starts chanting CM Punk. And he says, I heard you for 7 years. I heard that chant and I heard every single one of you. Mm-hmm. He says, unfortunately, we don't have time to get everything in right now, but we have time and I'm not going anywhere. He says, Wednesdays, Fridays, 4 Saturdays or Sundays a year. He says, we have plenty of time. And he says, so I'm not going anywhere. He says, possibly this is the most important thing I'm going to say. And this is for everyone here. He says, if any of my choices in my personal life disappointed anyone along the way, or I let them down, I understand. He says, but I was never going to get healthy staying in the same place that got me sick in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, do you want me to tell a story? And they said, of course, yes. Of course we do, Phil. Yes. So he takes off his hoodie and people just mark out for him taking off a hoodie because he got the brand new shirt and everybody's on their computer trying to go to shopaw.com.
I had one in my cart, but I didn't.
And so anyways, he offers up a story. Larson, go ahead and take over.
All right. So he talks about a situation before where he felt like he had to leave a place. He knew he couldn't stay, but he did. But he, you know, he he knew he could stay, but didn't want to leave. And he was talking about when he was working for Ring of Honor. He talks about his last match with Ring of Honor. He said he came out to his last match with tears in his eyes, and walking out here tonight, now he knows why. It was a place he helped build where people can get paid to make money for people who love professional wrestling. And he said he cried because he was leaving a place he loved, and where he was going, it wasn't going to be easy for someone like him to succeed. And he says, August 13th, 2005, I left professional wrestling. August 20th, 2021, I'm back. He says he's back for the fans, he's back for himself, and he's back because there's a lot of great young talent that he wishes he was surrounded by 10 years ago. And he says, they're here, why shouldn't I be here? He's back because he wants to work with all that great young talent. He's back because there's a couple scores to settle in that locker room. And he's back to work with Darby Allin. He cut up to the rafters, and there's Darby and Sting watching the whole thing. Mm-hmm, he says, Darby, I've seen you. You're good. You do all sorts of crazy stuff, and you always come back. You're tough. But he's there to help. I'm here to help you, and you're the first on the list. Says there's nothing that can be more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk, except wrestling CM Punk in Chicago. I'll see you it all out. He says, I'm back. Yeah. Referencing when Jordan came back from when he retired the first time. Mm-hmm. They even did the press release AEW did. That was great. He says, one more thing. 7 years is a long time to wait. So everybody on your way out, grab an ice cream bar on Phil.
I just retweeted a picture of said Lucha blog is there. Mm-hmm. And retweeted out picture of said ice cream bar.
Yeah.
And they cut to commentary. Taz is already halfway through his. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good stuff.
It was good. After that, they had Christian Cage drop a promo to follow up Phil. And he's just trying to rally Jurassic Express to get the win tonight against Private Party to advance in this Tag Team Eliminator Contenders Tournament. He again says, Kenny, I got, you know, there's the adage that there's always one guy that has your number, and I'm that guy for Kenny. I'm in his head. And then he says, Jurassic Express, go out there and beat Private Party. And that match was next.
So we had Private Party versus Jurassic Express. I mean, honestly, like, we were talking up the Punk stuff in the chat so much. I had my eye on the match. Really fun match. Mm-hmm. Lots of crazy shit. I mean, I don't know. Jurassic Express ended up picking up the win here. But, yeah, these guys, you know, they're all just absolutely fantastic.
They are. They are. The finish saw Private Party go for Gin and Juice. Jungle Boy versus that into a Tornado DDT. And then Jurassic Express hits the Thoracic Express as their finish. Yeah.
It's a beautiful move.
It's great.
It's a beautiful move.
It is great. Then we get a really short Don Callis, Kenny Omega promo. Don Callis that says, hey, you know what happened on Rampage last week with all the chairs and all that? That's not going to happen at All Out. Christian, you're not winning. And Kenny's like, hey, this first dance, this is supposed to be my night. It was all set up for me. But then guess what, Christian? You blew it. You ruined it. And now I'm going to retire you again, and you won't come back for another 7 years.
Good job. After that, we had Kiera Hogan and Jade Cargill video package because their match was up next. Jade says she's done talking. She had like the best looking like metallic red bodysuit.
It was amazing.
She is like $1 million. Anyways, this is a fairly quick match. Jade Cargill made pretty quick work of Kiera Hogan.
Yeah.
I love her glam slam because she's number one tall. And most of her opponents are quite a bit smaller than her, so she can get them way up there. And then just, it's like a last ride version of the glam slam. Yeah. Just like brings them down from like on high. It's pretty great.
It is great. It is great. Yeah, Jade got the win. After that, we had Mark Henry moderating a side-by-side interview with Mox on one side. And his back was to the camera. It's like he didn't know his blocking. And then on the other side was 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. So Daniel Garcia is talking about how, you know, if you want to be a top guy in AEW, he mentions beating Fuego. Yeah, whatever. You got to beat a top guy to be a top guy. Mm-hmm. And so that top guy is Mox tonight. And then Matt Lee says, yeah, Garcia is going to give Mox a taste.
A taste.
They're going to get a taste.
They're going to get a taste. When are we going to get a taste of 2.0 on Quizlemania to defend our tag team championship?
That's what I'm talking about. So
they Mox, said they were down for that.
I know. Mox turns around, says he's pissed. He says he's about 30 seconds from committing what's called an assault on Daniel Garcia. He says Garcia's got a better chance of getting Mox pregnant than making him tap out. And that's pretty much what happened.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It was a short match. It was a short match, like 10 minutes long. Mox versus Daniel Garcia was next. Mox did have the early advantage. Garcia hits a drop kick to Mox's knee. He's working over the leg here and there. Eventually, though, Mox hits an X-plex, looks for a paradigm shift. Garcia reverses that into like a sharpshooter, and then Mox reverses that into the bulldog choke. Garcia taps afterwards, 2.0, get in the ring to attack Mox. Kingston comes in to help. They're both overwhelmed by 2.0 and Garcia. Darby and Sting come down to the ring. Mox drops Garcia with a paradigm shift, and then they send 2.0 into the corner. Sting hits him with a splash, hits a scorpion death drop on Parker, and then Darby hits a coffin drop on Matt Lee to end the show.
Absolutely. I put up a thread for tonight's AEW Rampage. By all means, if anybody here in our Twitch chat has any questions, yes, do us a favor, highlight that message using your channel points, and we'll see if we can answer your question. First up, let's see here. Wizard of Smoke has some fantasy booking for us. He says, Ric Flair shows up on Dynamite and announces the formation of the Elite Horsemen.
Okay.
Of course, he says, El Idolo will be number one.
Of course.
Numero uno. Number four is announced in New York as Bryan Danielson. Who will be number two and three? He says Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. I think I'd like some bigger names.
Well, I think in terms of if the idea of the Elite Horseman is to follow the example set by the initial Horseman, I think Andrade, I think Page and Sky are good choices. Because they, you know, like the men of the year thing is, you know, like Ethan Page wears like nice button up short sleeve shirts and, you know, like they're well dressed.
Yeah, sure.
That's Page and Sky are really well dressed, as is Andrade, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that seemed like a cohesive unit there. I understand Bryan Danielson provides some name value, but, you know, if they're all wearing suits and nice shirts and stuff and he's wearing a flannel, you know.
I'm going to say this. I'll say this. This is what I like. Because Ethan Page. Either way, both these guys are a bit. So like Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky, they're booked a tad hapless. Let's be honest with you. These days, they're booked a tad hapless. Have they lost some handicap matches against like Darby or something like that?
No, they won. Won the handicap match against Darby.
They won that one. Okay, that's awesome for them. I'm gonna say, Private Party leaves the cesspool that is Hardy Family Office. And they become Elite Horsemen. I feel like those guys can be. Oh, you know, it'd be fun. They're young, but Top Flight could be fun for Elite Horsemen. They're a little young, but to take that next step, I think, you know, they need to get out of the. In like 5 years, they're going to be massive.
Oh, yeah.
But like for now, it's totally fine that they have their indie gear and, you know, they look sort of like creator wrestlers. But I'm going to go with Top Flight.
That's good. Angry Tacos, with Punk officially signed, do you see AEW putting a title on him the next year or just big matches? It's just going to be huge matches. I think he's going to have feuds leading up to huge matches at the pay-per-views. And then somewhere, like, you know, we're pretty sure they have the world title scene booked out for the next 3, 4, maybe 5 years.
Dude, I'll be honest with you. I don't know anymore. I thought it was going to be like, who's got it? Kenny, Hangman, which I still think is going to happen.
Yeah, that's still going to happen.
And then I figured MJF. I could see like a heel Punk. Because this is my scenario. I think Punk for the first year, it's going to be like 2013 WWE. Where it was like, granted, with better names. I mean, Jericho was a good feud for Punk, but it was whatever. He had like Ryback. It was face Punk. He turned face because Lesnar beat him up and Heyman left him.
Yeah.
So like, it's going to be like that for the first year, but it's going to be with a bunch of really cool names. So like, let's say Death Triangle goes back to being heels because they're kind of good guys now. So maybe those guys at some point, like Andrade maybe. So you line up like the heels or maybe like the good guy, you know, like Mox, you know, you rerun that. That's like your first year. And then year two, like at the end of year one, Punk is best as a heel. He really just knows how to choose scenery as a heel. And then you start to turn him back. But he goes heel at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, you have him feud in that first year against Kenny for sure, because that's like, who wouldn't want to see that?
Yeah, totally.
But then he turns heel and then he takes that title off Hangman. Because I think one thing that Tony's learned, that Tony Khan has to learn at this point, is look at how much success he's had with name value in the title. You know, it's like Jericho, Mox were obviously name value guys. Kenny's a little less name value than those guys, but not by much. I mean, he's definitely name value, obviously, with the core AEW crowd.
Totally.
And he's sort of building his name now beyond that. But maybe he goes, maybe after Hangman, he goes back to like a name guy. And Punk is a huge name guy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, who knows? St. Jimmy says the Chicago Blackhawks just congratulated CM Punk on his return. This is truly a mainstream moment.
Mm-hmm. And plus, there's one more point on that. The value of having a name guy is then you can have a not as big name guy make a name, MJF.
Beat that person.
By taking off Punk after Punk has gone back to being a face.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Steve O says, Kenta tweeted out, it's official. Give me CM Punk.
Everybody wants a piece, man. That's money match.
Yep.
How old is Phil? 40?
He's about our age, isn't he?
Our age, isn't he?
I think so.
Ooh, man. All that lost time.
He's 42.
Oh, he's younger. Okay, so he's my age then. Okay.
Yeah, he's about a month and a half younger than you.
Okay.
So ESPN, I just searched CM Punk. ESPN has a write-up on him returning, as does Sports Illustrated. Let's see if any other mainstream.
Asian Murray here says, give me Punk versus Les. Les? Like Les Gold from Hardcore Pond? Punk could take that, old man.
CBS
maybe
Sports.
Not if he had his heater with him.
True.
He said yes. That's what he meant. He meant Les Gold.
Oh my goodness.
If Les has that big heater with him, oh man, Punk's in for some trouble. Yeah. Enforcer popped on that one. That's what I'm saying, Asian Merc.
White Brownie says, Tony Khan said there will be a big surprise on Dynamite next week. What do you think that big surprise is?
Oh, what is this? Man, just popping us every single week. Getting these numbers up.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
I don't know.
Maybe it'd be
Ruby Soho.
I mean, dude, after this week, like, what could a big surprise be, right? Is it like Roman Reigns? Is he going to lose at SummerSlam and leave?
He was leaving.
Man. Yeah, well, there you go. Ryan Rubik's Cube says El Generico. Dude, if I get that, don't I get some special prize for my predictions?
No.
Because give me a break. Getting the trifecta there, CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, and El Generico.
Olone Podcast says, how does the Bryan Danielson debut tie into all this? This is just the beginning quote made by Tony Khan after Rampage to the United Center crowd. Is that what he said? Does anybody else have the transcript of what he said?
Who is this? Vank says, nah, it's Lulu Pencil. Oh, I'd love it. That'd be great.
Well, Mr. Sinister here on Twitter says, a lot of people in chat were saying that the intro doesn't have static, but it does. The actual version of the song doesn't have the static at the beginning.
Okay. I just have it in my head, I guess, when it comes on.
Yeah.
Burr Winning says, speaking of Generico, where has Sami Zayn been? That's a great question.
That is a good question.
Taking a huge victory lap on that one. David Matushek says, where do you think Punk's match against Darby Allin will be at? Oh, it's at All Out. Yeah, he already said it's All Out. Let's see here. Reginald Torian is there. Says, I'm pretty sure I'll be standing in this merch line for a Punk t-shirt until the show's over. There are ice cream bars too. Yeah. Let's see here.
Oh, they're shopping.
Luisa Reza. This is a great question. Is there a wrestler more synonymous with a city than CM Punk in Chicago?
Wow, good question.
Back in the day, I was like, is Bruno more like, was he more associated with New York than Punk would be with Chicago today? I just don't know the historical context.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm thinking at least today, if there's any. I mean,
Oh, Brett. Brett in Montreal. He's not even from there.
Nope.
That's good, though. Yeah, Bret Hart and all of Canada. That's exactly right. Me and Canada. Okay, what part of Canada?
All.
All of it. Bret Hart and the room that Nails beat up Vince McMahon.
Oh, gosh.
He was shrieking like a woman.
Let's see here. Blaze Nye says, Steve, you look like you'll have your second chance to get that shakaroni pizza. It's coming back.
Oh, wow.
What? What?
Man, what a great day for Steve. CM Punk returned. Shakaroni's coming back.
Great day. Generico confirmed coming back to coming to AEW.
Don't get your hopes up there. Church says, I cried tonight, and my girlfriend finally understands why I named my dog Punk 8 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Let's see here. Moses Opposes, enough dream matches. Power rank the wrestlers. Oh, what a great question from Moses Opposes. Power rank the wrestlers CM Punk should not feud with in AEW. Oh, wow. I don't want a real feud with Mox. Like, one match is fine. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't need that.
You know, but in the interviews, Punk said, if I come back, I don't want to rehash things I've already done. He's wrestled Mox before. Granted, it was a WWF, but maybe high in this list of things to do, you know?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I wouldn't mind seeing what they could do outside the constraints of WWE. I would be interested.
Yeah, totally.
And maybe given that Mox is sort of a different character, a feud would be okay.
Totally.
But, I mean, my thing is, I think his first real feud should be, this is a no-brainer, it's MJF. Mm-hmm. Because here's one thing. I know MJF's probably going to start winning matches soon, like, and it's climbing up the rankings. I feel like they need to, like, find clever ways to keep him out of the title picture.
Yeah.
And an extended feud with CM Punk, because MJF is the one dude in AEW who does the whole shoot work promo thing, you know?
Yeah.
He takes it outside, and he's the perfect guy to say, hey, what is this, WCW? We don't need old-timers coming in stealing our spotlight.
Yeah.
Like, that shit, the promos would be killer.
Yeah.
And it would give, like, Jericho and MJF haven't been afraid to be a bit on the goofy side.
Yeah.
And he can start steering away from that with Punk. Mm-hmm. That would be killer.
That could be good. Let's see here. JTV, does AEW have to do over 1.5 million views next week, or is it a disappointment? No, I don't think it's a disappointment.
So, yeah, I don't. It's crazy that AEW is just, Tony Khan seems to know how to do this stuff right. It's insane. I wonder if he ever stopped before he started this and was like, okay. He looks at like Impact, he looks at WCW, and he's like, okay, it's kind of obvious where these guys went wrong. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he ever thought to himself, it can't really be that easy, right? And I'm not saying that it's easy at all.
Yeah.
But their mistakes were so obvious and transparent and blatant.
Yeah.
That it's like, man, if they just hadn't done any number of those things.
I know.
Like, I still maintain WCW. I know there was a whole Time Warner thing, but like, I still maintain that, like, what were they doing signing Hogan in 98 to that ridiculous contract where he held all the power?
It's foolish.
It's horrible.
It's foolish. Yeah, he didn't have a whole lot of leverage there.
Yeah, I know. What was he going to do? Go back to WWE? Okay, fine. Go back to WWE.
I know exactly. Flats with Sub says, CM Punk on my 1 year anniversary. Thank you for your content through the pandemic. Thank you, Flats.
Oh, nice. Thank you very much. Wait, are you serious? Adam Beveridge, you see this?
Huh.
Cardona is dressed like ECW champion Durag Vince for his GCW title defense.
Well, he did put a picture of Vince.
Yeah, on Twitter right today. Right. That's hilarious.
Wow.
Oh, hey, look at this.
What?
Founding member of Going In Raw, Dan. Dan, did you watch CM Punk tonight? Oh, he subbed to the channel.
Thank you, Dan.
What's up? What's up, Dan?
Hi, Dan.
He said, and he did his first time he chatted. Really? His first time he's chatted in here? That's weird.
Really?
Yeah. He said he responded to Asian Murr. He says, and I'm the only one popping, sigh. And Dan said, I'm no punk, lol. Well, hey, Dan.
Hi, Dan. Missed you, Dan.
He said he did. He watched Punk. He said it's 4:40 in the morning.
That's awesome.
What a unique surprise. Dan is here.
I know.
He says he never checks Twitch. Really, Dan? You don't look at the Amaranth streams? You seem like an Amaranth guy to me. On that note, we're going to call it a day for our AEW Rampage
Yes.
Review.
Friendo's watching live, all 666 of you. Stay tuned. We are going to do our SmackDown review. Yes. And then what? This is where those 666 drop.
They're like, well, I got better things to do with my time than here to talk about SmackDown.
Right. So, yeah, we're going to do that. In the meantime, hey, everybody out there in the audio realm, do us a favor. Leave us a rating review or a comment. If you're watching us on YouTube, do us a big favor. Hit that thumbs up. Hit that subscribe button. Thank you very much for watching. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.